An election happened in California this week, and only a few people showed up. It's the Friday Mixer. Last Tuesday was primary election day in California and a handful of other states all across the country, with candidates from both parties on the ballot in a new open primary here in the Golden State. Governor Brown won big in the gubernatorial contest, and he's set to take on Republican and former Treasury Department official Neil Kashkari. Lieutenant Governor Gavin Newsom will face Republican Ron Nearing in the fall as well. But locally, there were some other races of interest and even some surprises on Tuesday night. And we brought in Gene Mattis, reporter for the L.A. Weekly, and Seema Mehta on the phone with us from the L.A. Times to talk about it. Hey, Gene.
Hey.
Seema, hi.
Hello.
I want to talk about some of the more local races that may not have gotten full attention this week, like the L.A. County Sheriff's Contest. Former Long Beach Police Chief Jim McDonald garnered the most votes in that race. He's going to face the former L.A. County Undersheriff Paul Tanaka, who finished a distant second. This was a race, and I am just befuddled by this race, the fact that more people weren't interested in it, because the Sheriff's Department has been under fire for so long right now with the indictments of, 20 former and current deputies. Why aren't people more interested in that race, and especially the sheriff, the top cop in L.A. County?
I don't know. I mean, there wasn't very much money raised anywhere in that race, so there wasn't a lot of awareness and advertising about it. And I think once you had Baca out of the picture, a lot of the interest in it potentially went away. I think a lot of the sort of establishment support coalesced around McDonald, which is why he got nearly half the votes.
Right.
But in terms of, there wasn't a lot of advertising for McDonald, and there wasn't a lot of discussion about the other candidates either. The debates were kind of uninteresting, frankly, and it was a debate about who's the best person to reform the department, which is different from who's going to be the person to take out Lee Baca, because he already took himself out.
He took himself out. If we were to rewind a year ago, we would be talking about Baca wanting to run for another term, an unprecedented fifth term, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he resigned. He said he wasn't going to run again, and then he resigned. Seema, is this something to the fact that maybe people feel so detached from the sheriff's department, they really don't know what's going on?
Well, I think what Gene said was right, that there was a lot of attention, or more attention at least, when Baca was running again, and there was the question of, was he fit for another term? And there was a lot of the energy felt like it was from people who were opposed to Baca, not necessarily that they were supporting, really super supportive of any of these candidates, but that they really wanted to see Baca out. With him gone, that sort of, it seemed to take some of the air out of the room.
Paul Tanaka is the former L.A. County undersheriff. This Blue Ribbon Commission report that came out, of course, in the federal investigation, points some fingers at him as well in the sheriff's department. Does that hurt him in the coming election?
I think he faces a pretty steep challenge. I mean, I think people had already coalesced behind McDonald, and now after the primary, a number of the other candidates who didn't make it are backing him. So I think Tanaka faces a steep challenge going into November.
What were some of the questions, Gene Mattis, that you wanted to ask Paul Tanaka on election night? Had you been there, or had you been allowed inside? And then you can maybe share with us this story about not being able to go inside.
Well, it's very typical on election night to go out to election night parties, and you're there, and everybody, the supporters, and they give speeches or whatever. It's extremely common for reporters to go cover that sort of thing. But Tanaka is the first candidate I've ever seen to bar the media from his election night party.
The media.
Yeah.
Not his friends and family. It's just the media.
Just the media standing out on the sidewalk. So I just walked in there and, let's see how far I get into this before I get thrown out. And I got about, 20 feet into the party. Before
just 20 feet.
Somebody spotted me. And I don't know who it was, but they were screaming at me.
Did you have a badge on, a press
pass?
Yeah,
a badge and everything. Yeah. They were pretty upset, and I wanted to talk to somebody from the campaign, and they didn't want me to talk to somebody from the campaign, and there was some shoving.
Really? They shoved you?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. And there was threats to arrest me. No, I'm fine. There were threats to arrest me for trespassing, blah, 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 blah. But anyway, I was escorted out, which, that was the most interesting thing that happened out there for me.
Never got to talk to Paul Tanaka, did you?
No, I did talk to his campaign manager, and they're very optimistic, but I don't know how they go from 15% to 50% plus one when everybody else is behind McDonald.
And can I just add one thing? I mean, they said that they didn't have enough room for all the reporters to be in the restaurant, which, their campaign is run by a guy who did advance for the Bush White House and who knows how to plan these types of events. So I'm pretty skeptical that they didn't, you know, specifically plan this without room for the media because they didn't want him to be in the public eye.
There was plenty of room for the media. It wasn't a question of there not being enough square footage.
Candidates want the media to cover. At least, I mean, this was a successful night for Tanaka, right?
Not really.
But he's still in the runoff.
He made the runoff, but I mean, it's pretty tough.
Were they having a good time?
They're doing okay.
I mean, you're 20 feet into the establishment.
There's a lot of go Paul, go Paul, go.
Really?
Yeah. But you
why wouldn't they want the media to share in that and to project that to the rest of LA County?
Because they feel like Paul Tanaka has been targeted unfairly by the media and by complainers within the department for, you know, some brutal scapegoating or something, and so they basically have an us versus them attitude to the media.
So you're running a campaign, you kind of need the media, right, to get your point out, to get your message across.
If you don't think the media is going to convey your point the way you want it conveyed, then I can see why they made their...
But I mean, I've covered plenty of candidates that hate the media. I mean, during the 2008 election, I covered Sarah Palin for a while. You know, she would go on stage and go on and on and on about how bad the media was and how horrible we were. And she would do this in front of a bank of cameras so that her message got out.
That's right. Yeah, I mean, it's not the first time that a candidate doesn't like
the
media.
I will say this
that.
For Tanaka, like, his hatred of the media is genuine. It is not it is not fake. It is not artificial. It is down to the bone.
I want to finish up tonight's talking about, we would be remiss if we didn't mention this sheriff's office federal investigation that continues and this scathing federal report that came out just today concerning how the department handles its mentally ill inmates. And we're talking about suicides in the jail system and what the sheriff's department does to isolate these incidents. Gene, is this just further evidence that they've got real problems there?
Yeah, I mean, the federal government has been looking at them for 20 years or more. So, yeah. You know, it's another in a long line of flaws in the jails.
Is there a consent decree there?
I don't think it's a consent, you know.
This is just this
don't
is
get
the
facts from me this on this
is the,
one.
Yeah, but. This is the eye of the federal government on the jail system. Not necessarily a degree in itself.
Right.
It's a major federal intervention, and I think you know some of the actions that the County Board of Supervisors have talked about in recent years, has been because they knew the federal government was looking at them and looking at intervening because things had gotten so bad.
Yeah, and the big plan now is to tear down Men's Central Jail at some point and replace it with something. So
yeah, and this plan, this $2 billion plan to replace it, and the Loma Linda Center too, right? I mean, does it even address mentally ill inmates?
Yeah, there's, you know, a certain portion of that is set aside for, okay, we know we have a 20% of our population is mentally ill, so we're going to set aside some portion of the funding for this to specifically serve and address that population. And the question is whether that's done properly or not. But, certainly during the sheriff's campaign, a lot of the conversation was about mentally ill inmates and what responsibility does the sheriff's department have for dealing with mentally ill inmates, and a lot of feeling of like, we don't know, we're not equipped, we're not trained to deal with this, let's let somebody else deal with it,
right.
Let's push it off onto some social service agency that's not the sheriff's department. So it's obviously a hot issue and an ongoing one.
All right. Well, onward and forward we go, right, through the election cycle and what these things we'll be talking about, whether we'll hear from Paul Tanaka or not. All ahead right here, Gene Mattis and Seema Mehta joining us. Gene from the LA Weekly, Seema from the LA Times. Thanks to you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I want to remind you, too, tonight that you can check out our podcast anytime by going to iTunes and searching for KCRW, The Mixer.